Hey, what's up, everybody? This is your SmackDown post show for Friday, May the 7th. Tonight, we acknowledge Roman Reigns, give you some news for WrestleMania Backlash, and review Season 3, Episode 1, Dark Side of the Ring, Brian Pillman. What's up, everybody? I'm Dave. There's Johnny. What up, Johnny?
From a little point, Dave, you said you thought SmackDown was going to be pretty good this week, and it was not. It was actually quite bad. So, I'd like an apology now for how bad SmackDown was.
What? You can't blame me for SmackDown. I will not take credit or blame for SmackDown. I have nothing to do with the show. I just watch it. You know that, Johnny.
It's quite bad tonight. Very, very upset. I mean,
upset.
I don't know what happened. Like once you got to that Dolph Ziggler Rey Mysterio match that never really happened, it just all went downhill. Just really bad after that.
Yeah, it was mostly the Roman Reigns show, and we'll talk about Roman Reigns and everything that he did. He seemed to be the majority of the show. It really was about Roman Reigns and the progression of his storyline, and you can understand that. Jimmy Uso came back. We had another
Uso.
Yeah, but
Roman was the best part.
Yeah, but the fact that Jimmy Uso was there, you know, it changes the game, right? It changes the complexion of the Roman Reigns story. So that added a new texture to it, a new element, and I liked it. I didn't hate the Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso stuff that we will break down here on the show. We'll also talk about the Brian Pillman Dark Side of the Ring. If you haven't seen it, we'll get to all that a little bit later on. There will be some spoilers in our review, so if you haven't seen it, you know, we'll warn you when we start talking about that. But at this point, I mean, what are you waiting for?
Be a spoiler, like, yeah. Anyways, when you review something, I mean, of course, there's gonna be spoilers.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Shout out to all the members of the team. Don't forget to become a member here of the YouTube channel. We appreciate the members. Don't forget to go to donate.ringsidereport.net as well. Shout out to Wally Byrne. Shout out to Antoinette. Shout out to Derek John. All members over at donate.ringsidereport.net. And hey, you can just like this video. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the channel. And get the bell thing so you get the notifications every time we're on. As we are on often. We are on, I'm on after Raw on Monday nights. We are on after Dynamite every Wednesday night. And I'm on every Thursday nights with Freddie and AJ for the UFC MMA talk show that we do, Ringside Report MMA. And then, of course, Friday nights here with Big Johnny. And Johnny and I will be back right after WrestleMania Backlash. Don't forget, we're on after all the pay-per-views as well. And we will be on after WrestleMania Backlash coming up next Sunday. The 16th of May. Not this Sunday. Next Sunday. Thank you, John. Thank you, Johnny. And shout out to everybody watching right now. I see Lauren Cronish on the chat. Bob Cote, Mako, TK. TK says Roman is on fire. Yes, indeed he is. Yes, indeed he is. And he will officially be wrestling Cesaro. Cesaro versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship is official. For WrestleMania Backlash, that was made official tonight. It was the match that we assumed we would be getting at WrestleMania Backlash. But Cesaro winning a match tonight to make it official. We start off the show. It's, of course, Throwback SmackDown as part of the Throwback Weekend on Fox with some sort of NASCAR race tied into it. I didn't realize that the Throwback SmackDown was a Fox promotion. I thought this was just a WWE thing, but no, it was a Throwback SmackDown because of Fox. And there wasn't much throwback about it. I mean, there were some throwback graphics. The SmackDown fist was back on the set. Michael Cole and Pat McAfee were kind of wearing old school WWE attire, and they showed a bunch of highlights from the history of SmackDown pretty much exclusively between the years 1999 to 2003, which kind of tells you what the WWE thinks about the past 15, 16 years of SmackDown. Not too many highlights, not much to talk about. They go throwback SmackDown, and it's just like, let's show you some highlights from 1999, The Rock and Triple H, 2002, Kurt Angle, John Cena, 2003, Edge and Hulk Hogan. You know, like they were just showing you the hits of the late 90s, early 2000s there on SmackDown. And that was really the only throwback element of the show, right, John? Like, it wasn't very throwbacky. Teddy Long was there, playa. He was making matches. That was fun.
I was kind of hoping when they showed the Rock Triple H thing, they'd show what happened after that match where the Rock apparently got in an argument with Shawn, like took him down and started beat the crap out of him. I would have loved to seen Shawn get his ass kicked on television, but we didn't get to see that, unfortunately. I guess they weren't rolling the cameras back then, sadly.
Well, you knew you weren't going to see that, John. I mean, if you expected that.
No, but we definitely have to see Triple H beating The Rock. You know, they have to milk that as much as possible.
Yeah. You also saw Schwarzenegger beating up Triple H, so evened out.
Well, that's just a great moment. I'm sure, like, Triple H loves getting his ass kicked by Arnold. But, you know,
yeah,
beating The Rock, true. He's got to milk that as much as possible.
Of course. Of course. So we saw highlights. It was throwback SmackDown. Roman Reigns shows up. Nothing throwback about Roman Reigns. He is today. He is the big dog. It's his yard. He is the tribal chief. What's happening, John? What are you getting? You all right? What's going on?
Well, my phone's going off, but I turned my phone off, so that's kind of weird. I worry that's like an emergency thing, but it's not.
All right.
Again, it goes off. That's odd.
How is your phone off but still going?
I have no idea. I guess it wasn't off. I thought I turned it off. Now it's off.
Who's calling you at 10:15 on a Friday night?
Well, I have friends that watch wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Don't they know?
People actually watch wrestling, believe it or not.
Don't they know that you're doing this after SmackDown every week?
No, they don't watch this.
Some friends, John. Some friends. Roman Reigns.
Well, I don't want to get into it because I know you don't get along with some people, so we won't get into it.
I get along with everybody. That's not true. Roman Reigns beats Roman Reigns is in the ring. What are you talking about? I don't even want to get into it because I'm worried. Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, and Paul Heyman are in the ring for a promo. Heyman says it's time to do a 10-bell salute for the career of Daniel Bryan, and then Heyman does a fake bell sound. Roman and Jey are bowing their heads. Roman's kind of chuckling. Was this I mean, they do real 10-bell salutes for dead wrestlers, right? And they're doing this for Daniel Bryan. Is this okay? This is fine?
Well, because it's a storyline, it's fine. You know, it's obviously them mocking him, but it's part of the story, so. It's more than fun. I mean, let's remember Shawn, like, making fun of Brett with the whole, like, little guy thing. Remember that?
What's that have to do with anything? I'm talking about the mock 10-bell salute. Like, is that like okay when we do real 10-bell salutes for actual wrestlers when they die and it's like a tragedy?
Well, it's not always a 10-bell salute for a tragedy. Sometimes 10-bell salute for
No, I'm saying when a wrestler dies and it's really sad, they do a 10-bell salute. Like they did a 10-bell salute for Brody Lee when he died, even when he was not in the WWE. They did one for Pat Patterson. Like, you know, I'm saying. Isn't it a little bit off? Doesn't it feel a little bit uncomfortable when they're doing a 10-bell salute for a guy that's not dead?
But it wasn't a real 10-bell salute, though. They didn't actually ring a bell or anything.
All right, John.
It was like a mock thing.
Okay. All right.
Storyline.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't super offended, but I'm just wondering how you felt about it. Roman Reigns wants to be acknowledged, of course. I am acknowledging him. Roman, you are acknowledged, all right? He just seems to want everybody to acknowledge him, so I'm just going to do it here right now. I acknowledge you, Roman Reigns, as the tribal chief, as the universal champion, and whatever else he wants to be acknowledged as. Anything else? Did I miss something?
Probably, like, the greatest universal champion of all time.
The greatest universal champion of all time. I mean, does he have much competition?
Well, you know, Brock was pretty good for a while. Nah. I know you keep wanting Brock coming back.
It'd be nice, but I don't need him. I actually don't need him. I'm fine without Brock at this point. So Roman wants to be acknowledged. He says he gives the WWE, Fox, and even Daniel Bryan what they want. He gives everybody what they want. Daniel Bryan really didn't want to be there. Because if he did want to be on SmackDown, all he had to do was acknowledge him. And he didn't acknowledge, so now Daniel Bryan is sitting at home. Not allowed on SmackDown because he lost the match to him last week. Now, Roman says that they got rid of Bryan and they've replaced him with Jimmy Uso. Jimmy Uso comes out, hugs Jey Uso, very happy to be back in the ring. Seems like he hasn't seen his twin brother in forever, which is odd. Like, why is he so hyped to see his brother? Like, you would figure they'd seen each other quite a bit, but hey, every time they see each other, it's like the first time. They love it. These Usos are brothers that just, they're so excited every time they see each other. Like, have you ever seen a man so excited to see his brother? Like, jeez. Yeah! Like, jumping around the ring, hugging him. Like, I get it, but like, you have seen him, right? Like, it's not like he's been in WWE and just you haven't seen him at all. It's weird. It's fine, though. Whatever.
Well, it's more just to acknowledge that he's back on television. That means he's good to go. He's good to wrestle again. And the excitement that they're going to be a tag team again. Like, I get that. It's kind of showing that, like, on television. They're excited they're going to be a team. I just found that they did this kind of out of order a bit, where it's like they had the celebration too early. Like, he shook Roman's hand, and then they have problems afterwards. Like, that was not done right. Like, it seemed like they're okay now, or kind of, but like there was issues and then they addressed it after. So it was kind of weird place in the way they did things.
Yeah, well, Jimmy was like, you know, he very happy to see Jay, and then he went over to Roman and he shook his hand, but it was like not as warm an embrace, and he shook Paul Heyman's hand as well, right? And then Cesaro showed up and he's like, oh, you can never replace Daniel Bryan. And, hey, Roman, I actually don't have time for you tonight because I have a match with Seth Rollins and I'm focused on him. Just as he said that, Seth Rollins attacks him from behind. So how focused really were you, Cesaro? Because he was looking at Roman. He's like, Roman, I don't have time for you. Just staring at him, doing a promo on him. Meanwhile, he's like, Seth Rollins is my focus. He's right behind him. And he attacked him. And referees separated them. And then Teddy Long showed up, player. Holla, holla, player. Teddy Long. We're going to have a tag team match, player, and you will face The Undertaker. He actually did say Sami Zayn was going to face The Undertaker, which was pretty damn funny. It will be The Undertaker and Kane against The Big Show. Oh, I miss Teddy. It was nice to see Teddy. I love Teddy. I love doing the Teddy impression. I really like that. That's fun
for me. But it was weird use of him here, though.
Holla, holla, player. I love Teddy.
But it was kind of weird, though.
Why? It was fine.
Because, like, you kind of put Cesaro in a tough spot where it's like, okay, I don't know where you're going to wrestle this match right now, and if you win, you're going to get a title shot. So it kind of put a lot of pressure on Cesaro, which just seemed kind of weird to do right there. Like, at least give him some time or something. But no, not at all. Just throw him in there, and it's like,
right. Well,
you better win this match because it's all on you right now. That's kind of rough there.
Because he got attacked, right? He just gets attacked by Seth. And then Teddy Long comes out, and he's like, holla, holla, playa. Cesaro, your match with Seth Rollins is right now, and if you win, you get a championship shot. But he kind of baby-faced it because he also said, like, if you win, you get a title shot against Roman, and Roman seem mad. So if you make Roman mad, you're still baby-faced, right? But I get what you're saying. It was, like, a lot of pressure on Cesaro. It was a strange placement there. If Teddy would have said the match is later on tonight, playa, like, that might have been better.
Main event.
Yeah, that would have made more sense. I agree. Teddy says, okay, if you win the match, da-da-da. And then Roman attacks Cesaro from behind and knocks him out of the ring. And then Seth tosses him into the ring steps. And then we go to commercial, we come back, and it's match time. Now, the finish came when Seth was outside the ring, and Jey Uso looked to kind of tap him on the belly to tell him something. I don't know what he was trying to do there. And Seth didn't like it. And he pushed Jey Uso, which, of course, upset Jimmy Uso, who super kicks Seth. And then Cesaro does a dive on Seth, tosses him back into the ring, hits a neutralizer, 1-2-3. Cesaro wins. So Jimmy Uso kind of costing Seth Rollins the match, which leads to Cesaro getting a title shot against the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, which upset Roman, of course. It was fine. The match was, you know, whatever. I don't think we have a match of the night tonight. If we're going to have one, I'd say it was probably the 10-man tag, but not a lot of great wrestling tonight. The 10-man tag was actually pretty decent. But what was Jey Uso trying to do there when he tapped Seth Rollins? What was the deal? What? Why was there initial contact?
Well, he was just trying to say, like, hey, like, I want to help you kind of thing. Like, it seemed like that's what he wanted to do. Like, let's team up kind of thing. Like,
why did Seth immediately push him then?
Well, he just got upset because he's busy. He's doing his thing. And he kind of was saying it too as well, where it's like, I'm not Roman. I don't need your help kind of thing. Like, you know, get out of my way. Like, I do my thing. That's it. So it seemed like to me they were slowly building Seth versus Roman, which I think is going to happen maybe at SummerSlam. And this is the slow build to that.
It doesn't make sense that you would do Seth versus Roman down the road. So Seth got mad because he lost the match. Roman's mad because now he has to defend his title at WrestleMania Backlash. I guess if Cesaro had lost, Roman wouldn't have to defend the title because Seth wasn't getting a title shot. And even Seth seemed mad. Like, when Teddy Long was like, if Cesaro wins, he gets a title match. Seth was like, well, what do I get if I win? Like, Seth was kind of yelling at Teddy, which was good. And then Seth was in Roman's locker room, and he's kind of, like, hard with Roman. And Roman is treating Seth like an equal. He doesn't treat anybody else like an equal, but Seth, he's willing to hear out when Seth is kind of speaking to him in a loud voice. Like, Seth was mad, and he's like, who should I be mad at for screwing me out of that match? You or your cousin? And Roman kind of whispers for a while, and he's like, oh, I understand you're mad, and I'm gonna deal with my family. Why does Roman have to whisper every promo he does? It's kind of annoying. It's hard to hear. I have to turn up the volume every time Roman talks. But he's like, all right, Seth, don't worry about it. I'll take care of my family. Don't worry. But he didn't threaten Seth at all. He didn't say, hey, watch your mouth, because I'm the big dog, and I'm going to beat you up. It was like, all right, I'm sorry, Seth. I will deal with this. Right? Treated Seth like an equal. Doesn't treat anybody else on the SmackDown roster like an equal. Anybody else speaks harshly like that to Roman Reigns, and it's like, well, you're in the sights of the big dog, and Jey Uso's going to attack you with a chair, right?
Well, he was kind of harsh in a sense where it's like, I'm going to deal with it. You know, I don't need you to kind of get involved. Like, he kind of insinuated that kind of thing, where it's like, this is my thing. I'll do it. And Seth kind of respected that. I mean, there was a level of respect between the two. And they're going to keep that going for now because they're both heels. But I think, again, this is an eventual Seth versus Roman match that we're going to get.
Yep. It makes all the sense in the world. Seth seems like the most legitimate challenger right now for Roman on SmackDown. They showed the highlights of the Stone Cold Booker T supermarket brawl. And I was watching SmackDown with my son, who was very amused by this, really liked the highlights, and now needs to see the whole match or whatever it was. So I got to show that to him. He had not seen that
before. Yeah, but this is the problem.
What?
Like, if he watches old SmackDown, he's going to be like, oh, yeah, new SmackDown sucks. Like, old SmackDown is definitely better. Like, you're going to spoil him with that stuff, though.
Yeah. Well, he likes it. He likes old Royal Rumbles. That's what he likes to watch. There's a bunch of old Rumble matches on YouTube, like a few of them to choose from, and he just likes to watch those over and over again. So he's familiar with, like, different generations of wrestling already. He just likes to watch that. He likes the entrances and the music. He sits there, he plays with his wrestlers, and he likes to have old Rumble matches on. It's like, do you want to watch Toy Story, Cars, or... And he's like, nah, I want to watch an old Rumble. Sometimes it's Toy Story or, you know, SpongeBob or whatever, but sometimes it's old Rumble matches. So he's well-versed. He was explaining to me the difference between a heel and a babyface earlier tonight as well. He's almost 4.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But, you know, back then, like, you know, when you're a kid, like, heel and babyfaces, that's kind of, like, really important. You have to establish that line. And now, unfortunately, it's like they just do whatever they want, sadly.
Yeah. He did. I think we were talking about a guy who's a heel. Oh, yeah, because this is great. This is how astute an observer he is. Dolph Ziggler when Dolph Ziggler did his thing, let's skip ahead to the Dolph Ziggler-Dominic Mysterio match, okay? So Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode are going to wrestle Rey and Dominic next week for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Ziggler and Roode are the champions, right? And Ziggler cuts...
The pay-per-view?
I thought it was next week on SmackDown. It's on the pay-per-view? I thought it was on SmackDown next week.
I thought they said the women's tag title was on the SmackDown.
It is. Well, that is. But I thought they said this match too, but you're probably right, as usual. Yeah, you're right.
Well, no.
You're right.
You could be right too, because they changed things, so I wouldn't be too surprised if they did.
I thought I heard commentary say next week, but I guess when they said next week, they meant next week on the pay-per-view, not next week on SmackDown.
I don't know.
No, you're right, though. It is at WrestleMania Backlash. That is one of the matches they added tonight, along with Roman versus Cesaro for the title. Yeah, those are the two matches they added. So, anyways, it'll be Dolph and Roode, and Dolph cuts his promo on Dominic, saying, Dominic, you don't belong in the business, in this ring, in this company. You're just Rey's kid. Mm-hmm. Get out of my ring. And then Dominic is like, wait a second. I know, Rey, this is going to be your match, but I want to show Dolph Ziggler, right? And then my son goes, Dolph Ziggler against Dominic? This is not a good match. Dolph Ziggler's going to win. That's what he said to me. He said, Dolph Ziggler's going to win. He said, this is not a good match. Dolph Ziggler's going to win. And I said, why? And he goes, his answer was like preposterous. He goes, because he's a heel. And I was like, okay. I was like, you like him? He's like, yeah.
Well, it's not that off.
Yeah. I go, you like him? He goes, yeah. I'm like, you like some heels? He's like, yeah, I like some heels. Because he didn't seem to like Dominic Mysterio very much. Because even he could see Dominic Mysterio and Dolph Ziggler in the ring together and think, like, you know, my son's just almost four. He'll be four in like a month and a bit. And he sees Dolph and Dominic and he's like, come on, man. Really? He's not even buying it.
Well, did you watch the match? And I'm sure you just saw it. Like, well, this is not that good whatsoever. Like,
well,
Dominic did nothing that match.
It was not a good match, and Dominic won somehow. Dolph goes up for a vertical suplex. Well, yeah, whatever. Of course, whatever. But Dolph goes up for the vertical suplex, and Dominic... I mean, it was kind of nice, the like reversal. It was smooth, John. You got to admit that. It wasn't like sloppy. It was a nice reversal into the small package for the three count for the Dominic Mysterio win. Very short match. The match was nothing. But the reversal from the small from the vertical suplex position and then rolling into the small package, like, there's no hiccups in that movement. It was a smooth little finish. But yeah, the match, whatever. Not good.
I'll take two or three botches in a match if, you know, they're at least going all out in that match. I don't mind that. Like, you know, the Blood and Guts match wasn't exactly perfect, but I'll take all that violence over, you know, what we saw tonight without question. Ooh.
But it's kind of unfair to compare Blood and Guts to Dominic versus Dolph on SmackDown tonight, right? Like, it's two different things.
Well, just the whole, like, idea of, like, I'll take botches over what we saw with Dolph and Dominic, like, any day.
Yeah, well, don't worry. If you watch Dominic long enough, you'll see some botches. Don't you worry, John. They'll be there.
Well, I think that's the thing. They try to limit his botches by just having him have these matches where he's pretty much getting squashed, but just wins on a fluke kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, whatever. They're bringing him along. Maybe in 5 to 10 years, he'll be a good wrestler. Maybe. Who knows? Right now, he's just not believable. Dominic, not
Dolph. You can argue that, you know, not having live events is probably what's hurting him a lot, because that's where you get a lot of your reps in, is from that. So the fact that, you know, they have weekly television all the time and there's not exactly a lot of spots for them, so it's hard for him in a sense. And they didn't put him in NXT, which they should have.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's tough. He's in a tough spot.
NXT seems like the perfect place to develop a wrestler. You know, their developmental territory. Seems like a good spot for him, but, you know, he's on SmackDown with the big boys, with Dolph and Roode, and every time he's in the ring with those guys, he looks like a child. He looks like a child against those grown men, you know?
Yeah, but we should also say, like, you know, they should have some people that are, you know, early 20s instead of all guys in their 40s. Like, not that they're bad, but, you know, you got to have some guys that are going to be here in 10 years or so.
Yeah. But
so you got to build for the future here, and not, they can't always stay in NXT. Like, some of these guys just stay in NXT all the time. You're not building towards the future if you never go to the main roster.
Okay. But Dominic Mysterio is 24. Jungle Boy's 23.
Looks pretty young for 24. Wow.
Right. Jungle Boy's 23. He's younger. MJF is 25. So Jungle Boy, MJF, and Dominic Mysterio are peers. Yet Jungle Boy and MJF, I mean, Jungle Boy looks, you know, kind of young and small next to a lot of guys, but MJF kind of, you know, he fits the part. Dominic, though, like, who would you rather early 20s guys on your roster? MJF, Jungle Boy, or Dominic? You know, I mean, what about Austin Theory? That guy's good. What happened to him? He's in his early 20s. He looks more like a grown man than Dominic. You know what I mean? Like, there are guys in their early 20s that look like adults. And, you know, he happens to have a baby face. But the problem is he's got a baby face and he doesn't have a great physique. So he just kind of looks like a skinny teenager in there with grown adult wrestlers. That's the problem. He just looks so young for his age. And the body's not really there. Even for a 24-year-old, like, I've seen 24-year-olds that are way more jacked than him. So, you know, there's something missing. There's something missing.
Well, you're not wrong about that. Of course, there's a lot of guys that are bigger. I think Austin Theory without question. But, you know, I think it's a different story with them, and it's a different story with a bunch of guys. You know, everyone develops differently. And Dominic, he's very fortunate, you know, being Ray's son. He's given a spot where others probably wouldn't get that spot. So, I mean, he's got to just take advantage of that situation and just learn from this. I mean, it's not a bad spot that he's in. The fact that he's on SmackDown, Raw, or pay-per-views, right, and, like, he's teaming with Ray. I mean, he's going to be wrestling Dolph and Robert Roode. Like, it's not exactly like he's wrestling, you know, terrible talent. He's going to get better only from this, I would imagine.
You would imagine he would be improving, you know, but his look needs improving. I'd say more than his in-ring. Yep. You know, the look and the kind of character needs improving a little bit more than what he is. But, you know, I said the same thing about Cody Rhodes when he started. You know, he's too skinny. He looks like a kid. He looks like a child in there with boys, with grown men, you know, boys against men. And,
right,
you know what I'm saying? Like, Cody looked real small, and he was only there because his dad was Dusty Rhodes. He wasn't on the roster, on the main roster, by merit, by look, because people wanted to see him. He was on the main roster because he was Dusty's kid, and they were trying to bring him along. And you know what? Eventually, it paid off. I mean, not for them, but, you know, for Cody.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, maybe the same thing for me, for Dominic. But I think he'll probably stay in WWE for quite some time, I think. And, you know, this is going to take time, but they should, again, limit the use of him. Like, if they don't have to use him, don't, like, you had Ray Dolph set up, like, give us that. Have Dominic on the little thing on the outside or something, do that. Like,
yeah,
if you don't have to use him, don't use him like this. Like, if anything, you're hurting him more by doing this.
I mean, Dolph's promo on him was pretty scathing too. Dolph was saying a lot of the same things that we've been saying on the show to Dominic in his face on SmackDown. Right. I enjoyed that. That was the best part of it. Dolph's promo was great. Get out of here. You don't belong in here. It was good.
Well, you got to be fair to WWE. They're tuning in. They know what people are saying. And they know, like, well, it's good. We'll use that. Well, it's good television. They realize that.
I mean, they must be saying it too. Like, Vince McMahon is a notorious body guy. I mean, he's super jacked, and he likes guys that are gigantic and super jacked. He's got to be looking at Dominic and saying, I don't know, pal. It's a lot of beef, and you don't have any beef. You know? There's no beef, pal. He thought Finn Balor was too small. Finn Balor's, like, ripped. Like, if he thinks Finn Balor isn't beefy enough to hang and isn't really, you know, his type of guy, what do you think Vince thinks about Dominic? Like, you know, come on, man. He's got to be seeing it too. We're all seeing it. Everybody sees it. I just hope that he fills out over time. You know, sometimes in your early 20s, you're not that big, but once you hit your 30s, get that man muscle. Get some of that beef, pal. Right? I remember you, John, when you were in your early 20s. You were skinny.
By 24, not so much. But again, no? Everyone develops differently. Not by 24. But, you know, again, everyone develops differently. And I think with Dominic, I think he focuses more on just becoming a better wrestler, just getting down the technique in the ring more. And that's understandable because, like, if you think about it, that wasn't Ray's thing, right? Ray wasn't about the size. Ray was just about what he could do in the ring. So I kind of get the mentality right now for Dominic. But to be fair, Ray actually did work on his size a bit when he got to WWE, though.
Yes, and I mean, compare what Ray was able to do to what Dominic's able to do. Dominic's not Ray. Like, he's okay. He does some lucha things, and it's like, you know, not bad. But, like, he's not Ray. Yeah. He's not Ray. When you saw Ray, it was like, oh, my God. When you see Dominic, you're like, what is this guy doing here? You know? Like, he doesn't have the Rey Mysterio skills, right? He doesn't have any of that. I wish he did. He's got like little pieces, but like he's not Ray, right?
Right. Well, he's got to find himself, but you know, Ray's there to help him find himself pretty much.
Yeah.
Like if anything, he needs to distance himself from his dad, but that's too early for that to happen.
Honestly, I think he should have just gone to work in Mexico.
Well, again, WWE is not a bad place to learn. I think they have a lot of good resources.
Yeah. But I think he would have done well in Mexico. I don't know. Because, you know, I feel like a guy like Dominic is not ever going to be a top guy in WWE. But if he can go make himself somewhere else, maybe he could come to WWE as a guy already made, you know? Because at this point, I don't see them elevating him that high. It'll take a while. It'll take a while. Maybe they will. But it's going to take a long time. That said, I could see him and Ray winning the tag team titles just off the strength of Ray and the fact that it's father and son, and it's such a unusual thing to happen to have a father and son teaming together in the WWE. I would like to see them win the tag team titles. I really would. Like all that stuff
it's a nice
about
story.
Like all that stuff I said about Dominic, you know. I think it would still be nice for him to be able to win the tag team titles with his dad. He's obviously putting in work to be a pro wrestler. He wants to do it. His dad has earned it. And I kind of want it more for Ray. Like, you know, being able to win the tag team titles with your son, that's amazing. That's amazing. So I would love to see that for Ray and for Dominic. I think that would be great. So many sons of wrestlers didn't even know their fathers, you know? So to be able to team with their dad would be pretty sweet. So I'd like to see that. You know? Dads, wrestling dads and their sons, like, there's not always that great connection. I mean, sometimes there is, but, you know, I saw the Dark Side of the Ring with Brian Pillman. You know? Imagine if the two Brian Pillmans were able to team together and become tag team champions, like, that would have been great for them. And the fact that Ray and Dominic have the ability to do it, they're still around, they're both still together. I mean, look at all the death that Ray's been around, you know, but he's still kicking. He's still doing it. He's still in the ring. I'd love to see it for Ray Mysterio. He's been through a lot, man. Ray's a legend. I got so much love for Ray that it's actually very hard to say these things about his son because I love Ray so much, right?
Well, yeah, but it's... You're not going to, like, say, like, oh, Dominic, like, he's such a great wrestler. I mean, it's hard to say that because it's just not true whatsoever. Like, but he's still new, though. I mean, like, you're going to give him a chance at least. And, like, you know, there's time for him. Like, it's not like he's always going to be like this. He's only going to get better, you would hope.
Yeah, I hope so. And I would not mind seeing them become tag team champions. Douglas Hepburn says, I thought Dom and Ray were starting to cheat to win. I'd like to see some sort of cheat finish to win the tag team titles as a tribute to Eddie. I think that would be great. As a tribute to the late, great Eddie Guerrero.
It's a nice story, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not. because it feels like this is, again, coming out of nowhere. And if they were going to do this, it felt like it was going to happen at WrestleMania, and they weren't even on WrestleMania. So I don't know how important this story is to WWE.
They weren't on WrestleMania because there wasn't room for them at WrestleMania, but you kind of want to do something at WrestleMania Backlash, and I don't know if you're going to have any title changes otherwise, although maybe. I could see Charlotte winning the Raw Women's title. Other than that, I don't think anything else changes hands, so maybe. Maybe.
We'll find out. We'll talk about next week. Wait and see.
All right. Bon Kiki, shout out to Bon Kiki out in Chicago, wants to know, what is that on the table? Is it whiskey? It is definitely not whiskey. This right here in the New Day mug, New Day, is coffee, and it's done. If you ever wanted to know what I was drinking on the show, it's usually a cup of coffee. And then sometimes in here, in the beautiful Ringside Report cup, with my face on it and AJ and Freddie's face, of course we are. We are your MMA authorities here on the Ringside Report Network that you can get over at merch.ringsidereport.net. There's Gatorade in this. Fruit Punch Gatorade. I only drink three flavors of Gatorade, and they're all the original flavors. I drink original. I don't like that other Gatorade, the like ice or whatever. I like Fruit Punch, original Fruit Punch Gatorade. I like the lemon Gatorade, the lemon lime, like original old school Gatorade, and the orange Gatorade. I don't drink anything but those three kinds of Gatorade. I don't want any kind of other Gatorade. Three kinds of Gatorade, and I love it. Fantastic hydration. Makes me feel so good. All right, that's what I'm drinking. I'm drinking Gatorade. I never drink whiskey. I don't really like it. John, thoughts on Gatorade? Favorite flavors? Do you have any preference? Please don't tell me blue. Blue Gatorade is for psychopaths.
It's usually the Fruit Punch one.
Red, baby. That's the best. Red Gatorade. That's what I'm drinking right now.
Though you know I wasn't big on the yellow one, not so much.
No?
It was usually like red. Red or orange.
Red or orange, but sometimes when I'm feeling spicy, I get the yellow. You get the 2 for $10, get the cases at the grocery store, tremendous. Now you're living. Now you're living the life, right? What the hell are we talking about?
Well, I haven't had Gatorade in a while. It's all water now.
I know, but you don't intake any kind of anything because you're just a clean living man. Johnny's drinking no whiskey. When's the last time you had a whiskey?
I don't think I've ever had whiskey. Yeah. Smells pretty bad, whiskey.
Ugh. Yeah. Have you never had whiskey in your life? You've never tasted whiskey?
Nah, it smells awful.
Yeah. I've had it a few times. It's not great. I don't like it. I mean, some people love it, right? Like, for some people, it's like their favorite thing in the world. But, yeah, I wouldn't say, hey, have whiskey, John. If you don't like the smell, you won't like the taste. I'd like to watch you have, like, a shot of whiskey and just to see your reaction. Because it's, like, really harsh, you know? It's like, oh, it's hot, you know? It's very hot going down, like burning.
Well, that's great. I feel like puking, it sounds like.
Probably. I mean, probably not after one shot, but considering you've never had whiskey ever in your life. And, I mean, have you, I'm sure you've had a beer in your life, right? You've had a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, horrible. Never
yeah,
again.
Yeah. Well, yeah, me neither. I'm done drinking beer. I'll never drink another beer in my life. How do you feel on red wine? You like red wine?
Never had red. I think white.
Okay.
What do you think? It's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Champagne?
Yeah, whatever. Never champagne.
You've never had champagne?
No.
See, I like champagne. If you were to say, what's your favorite alcoholic beverage, I'd say champagne. But, like, it's got to be good, you know? It's got to be, like, Moet or something. I like good champagne and, like, nice red wine, but I don't really drink it ever. We don't drink. We're not drinkers, you and I, Johnny. No, right?
Not drinkers, you know? It's just the way it is.
Yep.
Straight edge.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm straight edge, but I definitely don't drink, if you know what I mean. Shout out to Rob Van Dam and Matt Riddle. Teddy Long backstage with Sonya Deville. Sonya seems happy to see him. Sonya's like a full babyface now, right? She's gone full babyface. This happened on Raw, and it's continuing on SmackDown. Sami Zayn shows up. You don't agree?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. For now, but it also feels like it kind of just switches whatever story they have. Like, it works for now, but maybe next week it'll just change. Adam Pearce wasn't there, so
yeah,
maybe
but
they were going to do something, but they kind of stopped, and maybe they'll do it later. I don't know.
She babyfaced Adam Pearce on Raw pretty hard, though. And she seemed to kind of, like, take issue with some things Charlotte was saying. I feel like they're going to set up a Sonya babyface versus heel Charlotte thing on Raw. That's what I'm smelling. That's what it felt like. Teddy Long told...
Cooking.
Yeah, that's right. That's what's cooking, brother. Teddy Long says Sami Zayn's going to go one-on-one with The Undertaker. Sami wanted an Intercontinental title match. And then when he got The Undertaker match, he kind of liked it, right? He was like, that's actually better, isn't it? It's pretty good.
Well, yeah, but he knew that wasn't going to happen, though.
No,
but too bad.
But I liked his reaction.
I would like the gong, at least.
His reaction was really good. I was like, well, I mean, I want an IC title match, but now I get to wrestle Taker? Like, that's pretty sweet. But, of course, he didn't get to wrestle Taker. He gets to have a tag team match, playa, with Apollo Crews. And Sammy's like, well, see, Apollo Crews is the Intercontinental Champion, and I wanted to face the Intercontinental Champion, so teaming me up with him doesn't really help. And Teddy Long's like, don't worry, playa, it's going to be a 10-man tag team match. And he, like, listed off all the guys, and he got a bit confused. Who did he say it was going to be?
King Booker.
King Booker, but no, it was King Corbin. And then Teddy wanted Sammy to dance because Sammy's really good at dancing. He wanted him to do the Teddy Long dance. Sammy kind of did it a bit and then just left. And then Teddy and Sonya were, like, fully dancing. Sonya babyface in here with Teddy doing the dance. Babyface Sonya. Roman Reigns in his locker room with the Usos, berating Jimmy Uso for screwing up and allowing Cesaro to win the match to earn him a title shot. And then Jimmy Uso was mad about it. He says, Roman, you can't talk to me like that. You can talk to Jay like that, but I don't think you should. And I'm nobody's bitch, Roman. And he walks away. And Roman tells Jay Uso, like, you got to handle that. You got to deal with your cousin. And later on, Jay Uso talks to Jimmy, his brother, and he wants to know if Jimmy thinks that he's just a Roman's bitch. He's like, yeah, you think I'm just Roman's bitch here? Well, what's the problem here, Jimmy? And Jimmy's like, look, man, we used to be a great tag team. What's the problem here? Roman doesn't really love you. What you're doing is not benefiting you. It's just benefiting Roman. And Jay's like, look, it's benefiting the whole family. You got to acknowledge him. And Jimmy says, look, it's all about Roman. And if you went over and asked Roman if he needed you, he would say no. But I need you. We need to become the tag team champions again. Imagine how great that would be for the family if Roman was the champion and we were the tag team champions once again. I need you, Uso. Right? So it's good emotional promo from Jimmy and Jey Uso. I thought Jimmy and Jey Uso did a great job tonight selling that story. Roman was really good, too. Roman is backstage again. And he's trying to tell Jey Uso, like, look, you got to handle your brother. You got to deal with him. And tonight, you know, we're going to deal with him in the ring. So then they go to the ring. Roman's there. Jey Uso's there. Heyman's there. And Jimmy Uso comes out, and he's like, hey, Roman, don't you remember you had this match with Jey Uso at Hell in a Cell. You had this match with my brother, and it was an I Quit match. And Jey, you quit because Roman had me in the guillotine. Like, he was going to choke me out, and he was hurting me, and I was injured at the time, and I was trying to save you, but Roman put me in the guillotine, and you quit because Roman was hurting me. So you quit because you love me, so you got to stand with me now. And Roman tells Jimmy, like, look, you got to acknowledge me. We're not here to talk about the past. We're here to move on. Either acknowledge me and fall in line or go home and explain to your kids why you're watching the Tribal Chief on TV and watching The Uso and you're sitting at home and you're not on the show. So, and he's like, make your choice, Jimmy. Jimmy's like, gets mad, and then he leaves the ring. So he turns his back on Roman Reigns. Then Jey Uso follows Jimmy out of the ring, and he's like, look, if you just acknowledge him, we could be a tag team again. Everything could be good. But Jimmy's not really sure. Then Cesaro shows up out of nowhere. He attacks Roman Reigns because Roman had attacked him earlier, and of course they have the match coming up. So Cesaro starts beating up on Roman. Jay goes to save Roman, but Jimmy kind of pulls him back and is like, no, don't do it. And then Jay's like, look, I have to. And then he goes and he starts helping Roman, but Cesaro just winds up beating up Jey Uso. And Jimmy watches this for a second, and then he's like, well, now I have to go help my brother. I'm not really helping Roman. I'm helping my brother Jey Uso. So Jimmy runs in, and then he takes a pop-up, a European uppercut from Cesaro. He gets taken out. Then Jey Uso takes the neutralizer. Then Roman takes the neutralizer, and Cesaro stands tall. So it didn't help Jimmy to go and help his brother Jey or his cousin Roman, because he wound up getting beat up by Cesaro just like the rest of his family. So good stuff all around. I thought the promo was good. I thought all the promos throughout the night were good. I thought the story told was really good. It's still an interesting story going forward because it hasn't had a clear resolution. Like, Jimmy Uso did turn his back on Roman, but then when Jay was getting attacked and Roman was getting attacked by Cesaro, then Jimmy, you know, he stepped in and Cesaro also attacked him. So Jimmy probably not too happy with Cesaro at this point, maybe even more unhappy with Cesaro than he is with Roman. So we'll see if Jimmy does fall in line and kind of joins up with Jay and Roman. But at this point, it's kind of 50-50. But the way they told the story, the way they brought Jimmy Uso back, I thought was done pretty well tonight. I thought all the performers performed very well. But John, what you did say earlier, I do agree with you. It would have been nice if they had this whole promo kind of at the beginning of the show, where Jimmy Uso was like, you know, the Hell in a Cell match, Roman, you attacked me. Like, it didn't really make sense for Jimmy to come into the ring at the beginning of the show and be all good with Roman when it was obvious that there was still a problem with Roman from Hell in a Cell when it was Jay versus Roman before he fell in line and Jimmy got attacked, because that is the last time we saw Jimmy. So that, you know, kind of didn't work, but overall, I thought the story was done pretty well, right? I thought it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. All right, it was easily the best thing that we saw on SmackDown this week. I mean, Jimmy makes it very interesting and actually adds to the Cesaro feud, because it actually puts Roman at a disadvantage because it feels like his backup is going to screw him over or just mess up in some capacity. So it makes it a little bit more interesting that maybe, well, I don't think Roman's going to lose, but it puts some doubt there. So makes the main event for WrestleMania Backlash a little bit more interesting than it really wasn't before going into it.
It's still not super interesting, though, right? Because I don't think anybody expects Cesaro to win.
No, but I'm not really sure exactly how Jimmy's going to, you know, which side he's going to go on here. Is he actually going to side with Roman, or will he not? And will this pull Jay away from Roman as well? Like, that's kind of up in the air still, I think.
I think the best course of action is just to have them all together, no? Give them the tag team titles, like, let them run with it.
Well, the thing is right now, like, it's heels champions, right? So I don't see them going up against, like, Rude and Ziggler. I mean, if the Mysterios win, that kind of changes things, right? But
bingo.
I think a lot depends on that tag team match. So you have to wait and see on that one.
Give it to the Mysterios, have them as transitional champions, give it right back to the Usos, and boom, you're off and running with the Usos. I think Jimmy Uso finally figures it out and joins up with his brother, joins up with Roman, and they're this giant heel faction that runs roughshod over SmackDown.
Yeah, it could happen. Wait and see still. I'm not sure about that. It seems like if you're going to give it to the Mysterios, I just would expect a better build than just like a week or two, but wait and see.
Tamina wrestled Reginald tonight.
Well, again, SmackDown was not good this week, and this was a huge part of why it was not very good this week.
And Tamina won by disqualification when she was on the top rope and Shayna just decided to attack. Shayna was just like, all right, that's enough. I'm coming in. I'm attacking Tamina. And then Nia and Shayna beat up on Natty and Tamina for a while after the match. And it will be Natty and Tamina next week against Shayna and Nia for the Women's Tag Team Championship. Now, judging by the vicious beating they took tonight and the long build for this story, do you think possibly next week is the time where we see Nia and Shayna drop the belts?
I kind of just want it to be over with because this has kind of been going on for quite a while now. I know they won and lost the titles, so it really isn't that long, but it feels long because it wasn't that long for them to regain the titles. So it feels like this has been going on for way too long. I think more than almost close to a year now, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a change just because I want a change. Not that I'm dying to see like Natty and Tamina as a tag team. I just want someone to change this up because I'm just sick of Nia and Shayna as a team.
I say break them up, make them singles wrestlers, and use Reginald as just Nia's manager going forward. That's what I would do. I think just them as their tag team champions, it's just kind of run its course. I agree with you, John. I think we're done with that. And as far as Tamina,
but I don't think we're going to see a change.
You don't?
I don't see it. No, I don't see it.
Oh.
Because think about it. Like, Nia and Shayna, like, I think they like them on both shows.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd really be big on Natty and Tamina on both shows. It doesn't really do that much. Like, Nia and Shayna, they're bigger names. You kind of want that on both shows.
Yeah, and Reginald and Nia and Shayna, like, they all seem to be working together now. Like, they seem to have ironed out all the difficulties with the distractions and all that stuff. They seem to be more focused than ever. So, Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. I just kind of want to see it end, but it might not. Apollo Crews does this promo with his team. It was, like, kind of Survivor Series style. It was, like, a whole group of guys. Commander Aziz is there, Corbin, Otis, Gable, and Sami Zayn. Apollo puts everyone over except Sami. Sami's facial expressions were the highlight of this promo. And then Big E showed up with his crew to do their promo with Street Profits, Kevin Owens, and Nakamura. Profits were yelling something about Kevin Owens, I think his birthday or something. And then Shinsuke Nakamura says, "I want the smoke." We want the smoke, whatever. I like the different style promo. I didn't dislike this or the match. Apollo Crews, King Corbin, Otis Gable, and Sami Zayn wind up beating Big E, Street Profits, Kevin Owens, and Shinsuke Nakamura. Corbin getting the pinfall on Nakamura after the end of days. Kevin Owens took a pretty nasty German suplex from Chad Gable. Otis, my God. Otis took this flip thing from Montez, and Montez's like foot landed like a kick almost, a flipping kick out of the ring right on Otis's head. You see that? That looked...
I did,
like
yeah.
It could have hurt, right? There's a lot of impact on, like a lot of force coming down foot to head.
Yeah, it probably tickled a bit. There's no question about that, but you know, Otis is a tough guy. He seemed to be okay at least.
Yeah, Otis is a beast, man. Like, I love Otis, man. I love him. He is undervalued in the WWE. When they gave him Money in the Bank, I was like, it's too early, but he can be this guy one day. Just kind of build it. Let it build. And they just screwed it up. And maybe they'll pick up the pieces one day, but I just think the guy is a beast, man. You see him, and it's like, how many guys look like that? He's a monster. He's intimidating looking. He's thick as all hell. He's got an amateur wrestling background. He's legitimately dangerous. He's like 300 pounds. Good God. He's funny. Like, you always want guys that stick out in a crowd. Otis sticks out in a crowd. That guy is monstrous. I wish they did more with Otis. I really like that guy. I hope one day they give him something, like a world title or Intercontinental or, you know, something, man. Something. You like Otis?
I see the potential, like you say, but I'm not a big fan of the heel turn. I think that was the wrong direction to go with him. Like, yeah. It's good to keep him with Gable. Gable was good, but I would have kept them as faces, actually, or tweeners at most. Like, having them as heels, like, it kind of pushes Otis to the back in a sense, where Gable's kind of like taking control, and Otis is kind of just like his monster that he controls. So, like, I actually think Otis was more over. People actually cared more about him when he was more goofy. Like, it's better that he's not as goofy, but, like, to go completely heel like this, it kind of took away a lot of his character now. Where there's not much to him now.
Yeah. There isn't much to him. He's just kind of the guy with Gable. But, you know, he's a talented dude. Maybe one day. You know, he legitimately moved in, like, down the street from Chad Gable. I saw Chad Gable talking about it. Gable was talking about it, and he's like, yeah, because Gable lives in Minnesota, and I think Otis is a Minnesota guy, too. And, you know, Minnesota guys, they're beasts, man. Especially amateur wrestling, pro wrestlers from Minnesota. Like, you know, they've made quite a few of them. Way before Brock Lesnar. I'm not even talking about Brock. I'm talking about some of the other guys. Some of the real legit guys that came before Brock. Right? So, you know, all the AWA guys and so on. Minnesota's a hotbed. The point is, Chad Gable was living in Minnesota, and he had this whole gym set up, and he was training, and he was doing all this stuff. And, you know, he said to Otis one day, hey, Otis, you know, if you move in, you know, there's like a house for sale down the street. You should move in, and, you know, we could train every day. And Otis just like, okay, we'll see what I do about that, you know, Otis talk. And then like a week later, he shows up, and he's like, yeah, I bought the house. I'm moving in next week. When do we start training? Otis is dead serious, man. He recognized Chad Gable was a guy who'd been in the business, who was a very good pro wrestler, who, you know, he got along with, and he moved in down the street. And they're a legit tag team. And when Chad Gable is like his coach, that's a shoot, you know? He's legit his, like, pro wrestling coach, you know? Like, they really, you know, Gable's taking care of him. And, they're a real team. So they should explore that a little bit more, like how real it is between Gable and Otis, because people don't know. Like, they live on the same street. I think they live, like, you know, a couple minutes away. And they are training for real every day in Chad Gable's garage. That's a shoot.
Well, that's great. That's what's going to make them a great team, is the fact that they work together and train together. That's going to help a lot. But again, them being heels, I think that kind of hurt them, actually, because, like, you tell that story and it makes them seem like baby faces, so that probably is a big reason why they don't tell that story.
Yeah, because it would make you care about them, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, not supposed to care about these guys. They're superficial characters. So that was SmackDown tonight. I'd say the match of the night was that 10-man tag, though, right? Nothing better than that.
I think I enjoyed Cesaro and Seth Rollins more, even though it just felt like a match on repeat. I'll actually take a match on repeat more than the 10-man tag, which to me just felt like that should have been the opening match of SmackDown. It wasn't anything out of the ordinary. The fact that it was the main event made it more disappointing.
That Cesaro-Seth match just felt like a lot of repeat stuff. It was pretty short, and all the Uso stuff in the middle, I don't know. I didn't love it. But that just shows you that SmackDown was not great, right? Not a great SmackDown. Super chat.
No, it wasn't great. It was a super chat.
I don't know.
I did your super chat, which is
Doug
awesome.
Doug Hepburn. Dave and Johnny, suggestions for Nick's mom on Mother's Day. He wants some suggestions for Mother's Day. So let's give some Mother's Day suggestions before we move on to the Dark Side of the Ring Brian Pillman review. John, Mother's Day suggestions for Doug. Thank you for the super chat, Doug. You are the super chat leader of the night so far.
I'll suggest chocolates.
It's pretty basic.
You have a problem with chocolates now? What's wrong with chocolates?
I'm going to suggest...
Yeah, well, I'll go with basic.
I'm going to suggest some of this awesome merch that you can get with my face on it over at merch.ringsidereport.net. Go to merch.ringsidereport.net. Get a Ringside Report t-shirt. All moms like that.
Sure.
Flowers work too.
I don't know any moms, but yeah.
Flowers are always a good one. Flowers, chocolates. You said chocolates. I said flowers, all right? I'm doubling up. I'm trying to come up with some cliche ideas. You know, like a gift certificate to like a spa. You know, like a massage or like a whatever they do at spas. I've never been to a spa. I'm not that type of man. But I know ladies like a spa. I know that's always a popular gift. Some candles. Ladies like candles, don't they? I don't know. I would tell you what I got my mom for Mother's Day, but she might be watching the show, so I can't say. And I would tell you what my son got his mom for Mother's Day. I mean, a.k.a. what I got for my son's mom for Mother's Day. But I don't want to say. Because they might be, you know. I got, you know, it depends. It's not flowers or any of the things that I've mentioned, you know. It depends.
Not a car.
Depends on the mom. Depends on the mom. What does she like? What does she need? Bon Kiki saying roses, brand new car, new Gucci bag. I mean, that seems a little expensive. Like a car, a Gucci bag. I don't Gucci shoes. Yeah, I'm not getting any Gucci for any of the women in my life. No moms in my life are into Gucci. Now, for Father's Day, you want to get daddy some Gucci. I mean, daddy will get some Gucci. I want some Gucci flip-flops or something. Get me some Gucci slides. Get me some Gucci slides for Father's Day. You know, but yeah, the
for your dad?
No, for my dad. I mean, who cares?
Okay.
I mean, I already have.
That's
well,
rough.
No, I have ideas for my dad. I don't need to give you ideas. I already know. All right. I take care of things months in advance. I'm an excellent shopper. It's never a problem for me. I had Mother's Day taken care of, like, you know, 2-3 weeks ago. I'm always like 10 steps ahead of any event, any kind of thing. And there's
good, you're on the ball.
The production team is saying we need more super chats for expensive gifts. Yeah, if we're going to get some Gucci or a new car, you got to hit us
She's
up
a
on,
new car.
Hit us up on super chat there, all right? Hit us up on super chat. Super chat. You hear the sound effect of me saying super chat. John, Dark Side of the Ring, Brian Pillman. Oh, pretty dark. Pretty dark episode,
I enjoyed the episode.
Dark Side of the Ring. I enjoyed it. It was fascinating. But yeah, when they say Dark Side of the Ring, they are not messing around. Pretty dark stuff. Interesting. You know, Pillman, of course, had his demons that eventually caught up to him. It's pretty crazy.
Well, you knew that.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone
knew
that.
Yeah, we knew. We knew what happened in the Brian Pillman story. They told the whole story of how he, you know, worked WCW and worked Eric Bischoff into granting him a release from WCW so that he could go negotiate with other wrestling companies and come back and get more money eventually out of WCW, which was the plan. But I thought that guy,
his life coach,
Kim Wood. That guy, fascinating guy,
yeah.
Right?
His coach, yeah, that was amazing. When he called Vince and Eric a mark, that was great.
Yeah, there's two biggest marks in the business, and those are the guys you have to target, Vince McMahon and Eric Bischoff. Like, his perspective on Brian Pillman and pro wrestling and everything was fascinating. He was really interesting, and he seemed to be kind of behind some of the ideas that Brian was doing when he was messing with WCW, and he actually got his release, which is crazy how he did that. You know, he told Eric Bischoff, like, you got to pretend to fire me, but you can't keep me on the payroll, so you got to really fire me. But between you and me, you're not really firing me. But actually, he was working Eric Bischoff. Then he shows up in ECW. He does his whole loose cannon thing even further. And then eventually, he parlays that into a money deal with the WWE that he had to take because he was in a terrible car wreck and he could barely walk and his ankle was totally messed up. And because WWE was offering a 3-year deal guaranteed and WCW was offering another deal that they could kind of renegotiate after every 3 months, he took the guaranteed money from WWE because he knew that if WCW saw him and after every couple of months, you know, they realized, okay, this guy's not physically fit to wrestle anymore, they were going to cut his contract. So he went with the WWE to get that guaranteed money. Great perspectives, great interviews with Jim Cornette, with Jim Ross, with Steve Austin. I really liked it. I thought it was great. Jake the Snake, you know. Was Jake on this one? Jake was on this one, wasn't he? No.
I don't feel we had
no,
Jake
not,
on
not
this
Jake.
One.
No, not Jake. Who am I thinking of? There was somebody else, another wrestler that was interviewed for this, right? Ross, Austin, Cornette.
Another wrestler. Not really. I mean, talked a lot to his family.
Yeah. Feel like there's somebody I'm missing. But yeah, a lot with his family, right? And that whole story where, you know, Brian had three kids with three different women, and the second wife, he left the second wife for the third one, and it was like a nasty divorce, and Brian was trying to get custody of the daughter that he had with the second wife, and then she wound up killing herself after the third wife had said some pretty awful things to her, and, you know, the third wife is there. And you see her in the 90s and how she looked, and now you see her now. And this is, you know, Pillman's widow. This is the one that was on TV back on Raw back in the days. And she has been through the ringer. You could tell that drugs and alcohol have not been her friend over the past 20 years. She looks rough-ski. And, you know, she has not been a great mother, and she's hoping that her kids can forgive her. Like, this really took a toll on the whole family after Brian Pillman Sr. died. Like, really, really dark. But, you know, this woman basically saying that she caused this, the second wife of Brian Pillman to kill herself. You know, she eventually killed herself. And it's just rough, you know. And, you know, the daughter, I felt so bad for the second daughter, right? There's the first daughter, then there's the second daughter of the mother that killed herself. She goes on to live with Brian and with this woman, Melanie, who, like, kind of pushed her mom over the edge. Like, it is goddamn dark. And nobody seems to like Melanie, not even Brian Jr., who is her son. I mean, he seems to kind of accept her for what she is, but he's not too keen on her. Brian's sister was there. She seems to be the saving grace of this whole thing, keeping the kids together and keeping a straight head on her shoulders. She seems like a really good lady, so at least they have their aunt there that they can kind of rely on, but really tough. Felt really bad for Brian Pillman Jr., seeing him get emotional. Terrible, man. I mean, when he was told that his dad was dead, because his dad lived in this weird world of, like, this is a work, but this is not, and, like, it was hard to tell, and they had cameras in their house for angles, you know, with Stone Cold Steve Austin and stuff. So when his dad dies, he's like, well, where's the cameras? Like, I'll pretend to be sad, but, like, what's really happening? Like, he didn't even buy it himself. Even Jim Cornette, when he was told that Brian had died, like, he didn't fully buy it, because Brian was just such a worker and could really fool anybody and work the boys and work the promoters and worked everybody, right? He wasn't just working the fans, even working Dave Meltzer, who was interviewed for this. You know, he was close with Meltzer, but then he stopped talking to Meltzer when he was doing the loose cannon thing. Like, he was a real worker, and people didn't even believe it when he died. It was a crazy, crazy story. But my goodness, dark, but very, very interesting. Really interesting, just to see the repercussions from Pillman and his death and all of that stuff, you know, how the family survived afterwards, or, you know, struggled with the death of Brian. You kind of knew the Brian Pillman story. Of course, he died at 35 of heart failure, a massive heart attack. He had heart disease, but, I mean, it was probably brought on by the prescription drugs that he was on. But his sister also points out that their father passed away in his 50s due to a big heart attack. So it's possible that it was genetic too. You know, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell what exactly caused the heart attack that killed Brian Pillman at 35. But, you know, I think it's safe to say that drugs were a contributing factor. 35. So put it in perspective, I'm 35. I'm like, God damn, man. You know? was 12 years old when Pillman died, and it didn't really register. Like, I wasn't really a Pillman guy, and I was young enough to be like, oh, 35, I don't know. But now, as a 35-year-old man, I think, God damn, man. He did not live very long. So, yeah. Great, great documentary. Dark Side of the Ring does it again, right? Great stuff, John. Great stuff.
Yeah, like, fantastic. Like, I mean, the Brian Pillman story has been told many times, so it's amazing to see it being retold again and to learn something new about it again as well. I mean, there's a lot you already know, but they took it from so many different angles. Like, you see with other ones, like, you only get, like, a bit of the story, and this felt like you really got so many sides of the story. Like, there was only really, like, one side they didn't get to tell, but I don't think they really needed it. It was the whole, like Pillman Jr.'s stepdad. Like, I don't think you really needed that part. They didn't get comments from that guy, but...
Well, he didn't want to.
Well, he didn't want to because, you know, he's a jerk, but...
Yeah, he's an asshole, you know, who, like, abused Brian Pillman Jr. All that stuff. Man, you feel bad for Brian Pillman Jr. Poor kid.
Well, the fact that he's self-aware of the fact that he's, like, he's messed up because of that, you know? Like, he's socially awkward because of that. So, that's amazing that... He understands that, and like he's trying to deal with that, and he's trying to overcome that. It, to me, it's just an amazement that he found wrestling, because there's so many reasons why he shouldn't be in wrestling, but he still wants to be in wrestling and pay tribute to his dad. That's amazing. Like, I know Dark Side of the Ring, but there is a little bit of light in this as well.
I mean, you kind of understand it, though. I kind of saw it from, like, his mom was not great. His stepdad was not great. The only parent that was ever good to him was his dad. And, you know, his dad loved pro wrestling, you know? He's kind of representing his dad as the pro wrestler. Plus, he's Brian Pillman Jr. So, as he said, you know, if his dad didn't want him to be a wrestler, shouldn't have named him Brian Pillman. But I'm rooting for the guy a lot more than I was before. I had no idea. I mean, obviously... You know, you feel bad for him having lost his dad so young, but all the abuse that he took from the stepdad and the horrible stories about the dogs guarding his room and biting him and attacking him if he would leave his room because the stepdad had them trained to do that. Like, God, that's horrible. Physical and verbal abuse and dog abuse. Like, it was really horrific. And that was the hardest part for me to watch. It's just like, man. That is horrible. To do that to a kid is just disgusting. It's really bad. It's really bad, and I don't know. It'd be hard to forgive your mom for putting you in that position, right, if you're Brian Pillman Jr. So I feel for him, and I'm rooting for him so much more now that I know more of his backstory. I'm rooting for him in AEW, you know, him and Griff Garrison. I hope those guys get everything. I hope Brian Pillman Jr. gets even more in AEW, you know? Poor guy. He's a talented guy, too.
Well, I think you've seen it. Like, I mean, he's been in AEW for about a year now. Like, you've seen the gradual improvements with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you can tell, like, he's training more. You can tell, like, he's in better shape, it seems. And, you know, he's one of those guys who's going to get better with time, and he's going to wrestle guys that are better than him, and it's going to make him a better wrestler. It's just going to happen. I think it's more the character he's got to develop, because I think they don't want him to do what his dad did, but they still want him to have a character. So he really just needs to establish that, his own character.
But he's 27 years old. He's already in AEW. He's got a great look, and I think that he's got a very bright future in pro wrestling. So I'm definitely rooting for Brian Pillman Jr. After seeing this, though, I know you hadn't seen it on Wednesday when we talked about it. I'd seen the first hour. I've now seen the whole thing. But after seeing the whole thing, doesn't it make that promo that the Acclaimed cut on him on a Wednesday even more rough and hurtful? Like, the Acclaimed guy did his rap promo and was like, Brian, Varsity Blondes, in 10 years, you're going to be on Dark Side of the Ring. And it was like, oh. Because, you know, this week, you're saying this about a guy who's on Dark Side of the Ring this week talking about, you know, his dad who died and all the abuse that he took. Meanwhile, the John Cena guy from The Acclaimed is like, 10 years time, Dark Side of the Ring. And I was like, damn, that's a hell of a line, but goddamn, pal, right? That hits home, especially after watching this. Looking back, you're like, jeez.
Yeah, but you said it on Wednesday, like, when you do those kind of, like, rap battle lines, you got to say lines that, you know, people are going to be talking about later, and he delivered that line. I imagine, like, he probably talked to Brian Pillman Jr. about it.
I hope so.
I imagine they were fine with it, like, and if not, then he probably wouldn't be doing promos that much anymore, so
yeah.
wait and see, but I don't think that there was a problem with that.
No.
Because, you know, that's wrestling. Like, sometimes you're going to say things that are a bit controversial. But it gets people talking.
And that guy's promo, those, you know, they usually cut deep, man. The Acclaimed, like, they go hard with the promos. I don't know which one he is. I don't know their names. He's the rapper.
I believe it's
and
Max Caster.
Max Caster. Who's the other one?
Oh, I can't remember the other one. He's been injured for so long, I forgot his name now. Darius something, I think.
Wow. That's more than I know. I call them the John Cena guys, the Acclaimed. Max Caster, though, that does ring a bell. I like Max Caster's promos. I think he's good. But, yeah, this Dark Side of the Ring was very good. Fascinating stuff. Can't wait for the next one, right? What's the next one?
Oh, I didn't check what the next one was. Like, this was good, though. This, you know, they started off great with the Benoit one in the last season, and again, starting with this one as well, quite fantastic. I have to say, though, like, I kind of felt they really made WWE look like garbage, though. I don't know about you, but, like, when they showed the whole, like, gun thing, and then, like, having, like, his widow, like, on TV again, and, like, Vince lying to her, like, really makes Vince look like he's a piece of garbage.
Yep, especially when you have JR and Jim Cornette saying, I don't know why we did that. We really shouldn't have done that. And it really, in retrospect, the way Vince is like, well, what are you going to do now as a mother with 5 kids that you have to support now that Brian's dead? How are you going to make money? It's like, geez, man, what do you mean? Can't you give her some money? You have enough. What? He's like, what are you going to do? It's like, what are you going to do, pal? What the hell was that line of questioning? Like, as a 12-year-old, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. I'm playing with my action figures. But now, as a grown man, I'm like, God, Vince, what the hell were you hoping to accomplish with this? What was he doing? What was he thinking? First of all, you have the woman on, and apparently, according to her, I mean, who knows if this is true or not, because you didn't get Vince's story, so who knows? But according to her, Vince is not going to talk to her about drugs, not going to ask her anything about drugs or anything. First question is like, well, don't you think, pal, that maybe some of the drugs that Brian was taking led to his death? And she's like, well, a lot of athletes deal with, you know, painkillers and stuff, prescription drugs, so maybe this will be a wake-up call for a lot of the rest of your roster, Vince. Oh, pal, can't put any of this blame on me. It was very much Vince trying to, like, be like, this isn't me, right? This is the prescription drugs. Brian was abusing his body. I had nothing to do with this. But what are you going to do to support your kids? Like, what do you mean? Do you have a job offer for it? What are you trying to talk? What are you saying? What was he saying there? I can't imagine what was going through his mind, why he would say, what are you going to do now to support your kids? It is awful. I mean, you didn't have to be like Jim Ross saying, I don't know why we did this, by God, or Jim Cornette saying that, you know? You just had to show Vince doing it, and you could draw your own conclusions. It's awful. Why did he do that?
Well, I thought it was really important, actually, to get Cornette and Ross's opinion, because they were on the creative staff at the time.
Right.
So it was good to know, like, what were people thinking back then? And the fact that everyone was like, what the hell are we doing? Like, the fact that it pretty much was Vince who decided, like, well, I'm going to go ahead and do this because I'm in a ratings war, and I got to cover my ass here because one of my superstars died, so I got to save myself. That's the way it kind of turns out there. But like you said, though, too, though, you don't get WWE side of the story, or at least current WWE side of the story.
Right. You get Jim Cornette, who makes a living out of shitting on WWE and AEW. You get Jim Ross, who works for AEW. They didn't give you a... Although, they did have Steve Austin, who is in, you know, he's on the network, good terms with WWE. Didn't really get his thoughts on the Vince interviewing Melanie thing, though, did you? There was no comment from Austin on that one.
No, but I think Austin, he pretty much said that he was kind of in denial about the whole thing for quite a while, about the death. Like, he thought the death was a work. Like, he just, you know, he just couldn't believe it. He was in shock from what it seemed like.
Yeah, he seemed like
he just thought.
But he did say that he realized that it was real when they're doing the 10-bell salute, and that's when it hit him, like he's really gone. Right?
Right.
And I'm sure he's got an opinion on Vince interviewing the widow. But you didn't get Austin's opinion. And he's on good terms with WWE. So there's that.
Maybe that's why.
That's it. Maybe he doesn't want to comment on that because he wants to stay on good terms with WWE. But, yeah, pretty terrible for Vince to do that. One of the worst things Vince has ever done. He's done some pretty awful things, but this was low and just passing the buck and trying not to get blamed. It's pretty damn awful. So, Brian Pillman was the debut episode. Next week's episode will be Nick Gage. Oh, shit. If you don't know anything about Nick Gage, I think he did prison time for like a bank robbery. He's also a deathmatch wrestler, one of the most extreme, violent, just kick your ass and cut you deep deathmatch wrestlers of all time at this point, right? He's like, he's kind of like Necro Butcher of today, right? Or taking it even further.
I think it depends how you look at it. You know, I think Necro, I think because he was in The Wrestler, he's got more of a mainstream kind of view to him.
Now.
But definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, current day right now, I guess, yeah, Nick Gage would be the guy. I mean, it's just Brian Pillman, again, different level. I mean, for us growing up, you know, like, you know, we grew up, like, for me, like, he was one of my heroes growing up. You know, the Hart Foundation was, like, the best thing in the world. So it's a different kind of level. Like, I mean, you know, I respect Nick Gage for what he's done, but, you know, Pillman was, like, a hero growing up. So it's different.
Talk about the Hart Foundation. I thought it was interesting when Melanie gets the call that Brian has died. Was it? Or who is she talking to? At one point, I think it's Jim Ross on the phone with her after Brian had died, and she goes, put Owen on the phone, right?
Right, yeah.
And Owen gets on the phone. I thought that was real interesting, that, like, of all the people that are there, whatever, she's like, I need to talk to Owen Hart because he's the guy that's going to give me, you know, he's reliable. Says a lot about Owen. She's like, you know, my husband's dead. I need to talk to Owen.
Well, you know, it goes to show you how close they were. I wouldn't be surprised they probably trained together in the Hart Dungeon. So,
yeah,
makes a lot of sense.
But also the type of man that Owen Hart was, right? You know,
I don't know about you. Like, if you remember back that those matches that Pillman had, I know they kind of dissed his matches in WWE, but I loved his match with Owen that he had on Raw. I think it was for the Intercontinental title, the tournament they had. They wrestled in the semifinals match. I think that was the best, in my opinion, that was the best match he had in WWE in that run.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite matches I saw all that year, I remember.
And of course he was in the Hart Foundation there with Owen and Brett and Bulldog and Anvil. And I would have liked to have heard Brett's thoughts on Pillman. Didn't get like the Calgary perspective.
Yeah, it would have been nice, but I don't know if it's like completely 100% necessary. I mean, they did talk to a lot of people, you know, because I don't know if Brett really had a hand in like his training so much. Probably had maybe had a hand in him coming in, whatever, but that was about it.
Yeah. Well, Brian Pillman was a legend. He did it his own way.
Well, he revolutionized the business in a sense.
He really did. And it could still be done, you know. You could still kind of work the whole business, but you got to be real crafty about it. You got to be crafty.
People are too sensitive now. It's really difficult to pull off what Pillman did.
Has anybody come close to doing anything like what Pillman did with WCW? I think the only guy that's come close to doing something similar is Kurt Angle. When he told Vince, like, oh, I'm too drugged out, I need rehab, and then Vince gave him his release, and then he signed with TNA like a week later.
Yeah, that's a good example. I'm sure there's others. If you really think back on it, there's probably been a couple. But, I mean, some would say, you know, CM Punk, even though that was work, I mean, it was kind of in the same kind of vein, in a sense.
Yeah. I know the Outsiders worked Eric Bischoff into giving them more money when Jim Ross started promoting Razor Ramon and Diesel showing up on Raw, which, of course, was the fake Diesel and the fake Razor. Eric Bischoff got nervous, and they hadn't signed, like, their full deal, so he kind of, like, added more money to it. They worked him into more money, right? That was a thing.
Well, it's because of them everyone's got guaranteed contracts. So, I mean, they started that. So, they revolutionized the business in a sense.
That's what they say. They say that they started that, but I think that there were other guys before them that had guaranteed contracts. I think they claim responsibility for it because they want the shine, but I don't think that's actually true.
Well, and their belief, of course. I mean, yeah. You know, Hogan probably more likely got guaranteed money.
Right.
But I feel they probably will say, and they'll take credit for it. And who's to say, like, I don't know, I wasn't making this kind of money, but they say they kind of started that for people, and then everyone else was getting it because they got it, you know? So.
I don't know. But Brian Pillman definitely, the way he worked the companies, especially back then when it was WWE or WWF, WCW, and ECW, the fact that he was able to leave WCW, get his release, show up on ECW, make a big stink, and then show up on WWF and sign a big contract there. Like that, just the trajectory of going to the three companies in a kind of short time span, that was really impressive, and that kind of didn't happen too much. Austin did it, but in like a different way, right? But the way Pillman did it was definitely unique and very, very cool. Very cool. And he is missed.
It's kind of too bad, though, that he just didn't accept like an announcing role, because that could have been very interesting, but he just wasn't willing to go down that route, unfortunately.
Yeah, I thought he could have been pretty good there, but poor Jim Ross, man. He says, you know, he failed in convincing him that he could be used elsewhere. And he seems to, like, take it personally. He feels like he did fail, and he got emotional there. I feel bad for Jim Ross. Like, it's not your fault, man. It's not your fault, JR. Guy's going to do what he's going to do.
Yeah, but I understand why he feels responsible. I mean, you know, he died, you know, and he feels like no matter what, like, he should have done something, you know, like something else. But no, like, I definitely think he tried his best. You could tell he definitely did whatever he could to make it work for him. But, you know, you could tell with Pillman, like, he wasn't exactly easy to deal with. Because a lot of times, like, who were you really dealing with? It was tough.
Yeah. Next week's episode, Nick Gage. I'm looking forward to that episode to see what they talk about exactly with Nick Gage. I know that David Arquette is going to be interviewed, and Nick Gage brutalized Arquette. It was pretty bad, pretty bad. John,
you should realize when you wrestle a guy like that, it's going to happen.
What do you think about Nick Gage? You like him? You like his style? You like his matches?
A lot of respect for what he's done. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy, the stuff that he's done. I definitely would have done what the stuff that he's done. It's insane. And he's still doing it to this day. It's crazy.
Would you want to wrestle him?
Just for the, you know, the sake of like saying I wrestled him, I think that'd be awesome. I don't think I'd want to like wrestle him like a long war kind of feud thing, because that'd probably take years off my life, I think.
Yeah.
But
I'm not sure. You'd be down for a one-off? But it could get really bad, right? Like, you could walk away a bloody mess with glass in your body, you know?
That's why a one-off, not like a, you know, best-of-seven series or something, you know?
This is why you're a real tough guy. You're a real man, Johnny North. You are not afraid. You're willing to do it for pro wrestling. And I respect that. I would not want to wrestle Nick Gage. He starts pulling out some shit like that, I'll throw a guillotine choke on him, choke him out, and just get the fuck out of there. That's what I would do. I would choke him unconscious and leave. No, it wouldn't work. It would turn into a shoot immediately, and I would choke him very quickly, and then I would leave, and I would say, I just beat Nick Gage, fuck you, and I would never wrestle again. Because I'm not a pro wrestler, and I don't want to put my body through that shit. I don't want to get cut open by another man voluntarily. If you're going to cut me open, God damn it, you're going to earn it. I'm not going to let you do it. But I respect pro wrestlers for doing it. I just don't want to do it. I'm too, that's the thing. I think if I were a pro wrestler, too many of my matches would, turn out, they would just wind up shoots. I would just start fighting a guy because I'd be like, you hit me too hard. Now we're fighting. Fuck this. Fuck everything. Fuck the work. Fuck the plan. I'm just fighting you now. Fuck that, you know, because you get hit and, you see red. I see red. So I think I would just go bananas. I was just like, fuck that. I'm fighting everybody. I'm crazy.
I mean, you might be in the wrong sport if that's the case. You might want to stick with MMA, I think.
That's it. I think jiu-jitsu is a better spot for me than pro wrestling because I have a short temper and I don't like when people hit me. You hit me, I'm going to fucking hit you back. I don't fucking like it. Don't hit me. I'm not going to stand there and let you hit me. Pro wrestlers, you guys are crazy, man. Standing there letting a guy hit you. I mean, not hit you, but, you know, hit you. Anyways, Nick Gage. I wouldn't wrestle Nick Gage. Fuck that. I'd wrestle Nick Cage. Nicolas Cage, the actor? That would be fun. Collision in Korea.
Old now.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we'd have a good match. I'd work with him. Because if I fought him for real, he might die. So that's not good. I think a lot of people don't know who Nick Gage is, and a lot of people watch Dark Side of the Ring will be like, oh, this guy's crazy. I think people's eyes will be opened up to Nick Gage next week when they see his story. I think this will be good for Nick Gage. I think a lot of times you see Dark Side of the Ring, and it's like, oh, that was kind of a sad story. But for Nick Gage, I think it's going to be like, hey, now you're getting tons of publicity, man, right? Like, I feel like Dark Side of the Ring has more fans than Nick Gage does. Am I wrong?
It's tough to say.
Maybe like, different
I'm not really
fans?
Sure what... Yeah, that's it. Like, you know, he has his fan base, you know, it's just, it might not be mainstream fans, you know, Dark Side is probably more mainstream.
Exactly.
But, I mean, he still has that, like, cult following, I'm more than likely sure about that, so... You know, it's going to help. What's great for him is, like, you know, unfortunately for the others, like, pretty much most people that we've seen that have passed away, you know, he's still alive. So, yeah, it's going to help him because he's still alive.
And if they're not dead, they're, like, not wrestling anymore, right? Nick Gage is still wrestling. Regular.
Right.
Right? Like, they did the one on New Jack, who's, like, similar. Have Nick Gage and New Jack wrestled? That would be something. But New Jack's not really active. No, it would make a lot of sense. I remember Green Phantom wrestled Nick Gage and Matt Tremont in a triple threat, and I was like, I'm praying for you, Phantom. But Phantom's fine. Like, he was fine. But he wrestled Nick Gage.
Yeah,
and
I saw, like, a highlight. There was, like, a door or something they used.
Yeah, I watched the match. It was pretty good. It was fun to watch. And Matt Tremont is another guy like Nick Gage, another deathmatch wrestler. He's got, like, you know, the holes in his forehead, like permanent holes, you know, big dents. You've seen that.
Well, I've seen with that. I don't know with him so much, but, you know, he's very much like a Vic Grimes. A bit more athletic, but that kind of style.
Yeah. Coming up on the season of Dark Side of the Ring, they're going to do the Collision in Korea when WCW and New Japan did an event together in North Korea. They're also doing an episode on the Ultimate Warrior, which I cannot wait for. They're going to bury the Warrior, right?
Well, I mean, WWE's already done it, right? So it's like, what's their spin going to be on it? What are you going to do that's different? I mean,
I think they got one of his ex-wives.
Well, there you go. I'm sure they have a different angle. That's what's so good about Dark Side of the Ring. It's like, WWE may have done it, but they'll have a different one, and it'll just be good or probably even better.
Exactly.
So that's what's great about this.
Grizzly Smith, of course, who's Jake Roberts' father. Who, I mean, if you saw Beyond the Mat, you know that whole Jake Roberts, Grizzly Smith story. You know, basically Grizzly Smith was Jake Roberts' grandmother's boyfriend, and Jake Roberts' mother was, I think, a teenager or pretty young, and Grizzly Smith decided to rape her, and 9 months later, Jake Roberts popped out. So, pretty unpleasant guy, as far as Jake tells it. So we're going to hear, I mean, no shit, Dark Side of the Ring, Grizzly Smith. I've seen Beyond the Mat. I'm not surprised. So that's going to happen this season. That'll be horrific for those of you who haven't seen the full story. And I'm sure there's more shit that we don't know about because Grizzly Smith seemed like a terrible guy. Dynamite Kid as well is going to be featured this season. Also heard some terrible things about him. Johnny K-9, a.k.a. Bruiser Bedlam. This stumped me. I don't know who that is.
It rings a bell, but I can't remember exactly what it's about.
Okay. Well, we'll find out.
I've heard the name, but that's about it.
I don't know why they're doing a Dark Side of the Ring on him.
Oh, I think there's a great reason. I just can't remember it.
He's Canadian. He's dead. He apparently wrestled as a jobber in WWE. Also a member of a biker gang, and he was convicted of assault, trafficking cocaine, and bombing a police station. He was also arrested for murder. The charges were dropped because of insufficient evidence. And then he was charged with another murder. Seems like he killed some people. Canadian, though.
I think he worked with Cornette. I think Cornette has a big story about it, so more likely we'll see Cornette in Dark Side for this one.
Well, he worked in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which was Cornette's promotion, so yep, Johnny K-9, a Canadian guy who seemed to be a lifelong criminal and pro wrestler. He'll be featured. The steroid trials, I wonder who they're going to get for that. Vince McMahon and the WWF 1994 steroid trial with the government.
They actually got WWE's lawyer for that. Jerry McDevitt, they got him.
No, McDevitt's on Dark Side of the Ring?
Yep.
Holy shit. Get the popcorn, boys. That's going to be a good one. Oh, fuck. That'll be good. FMW, the Japanese wrestling promotion, that'll be interesting. That'll be fun to watch. The Plane Ride from Hell, the infamous WWE flight from Europe back to the United States, where all sorts of shit went wrong. Guys were fighting each other, wrestling each other. Vince McMahon almost toppled out of the airplane. So did Mr. Perfect and Brock Lesnar. It was a mess. Ric Flair showed his penis to everybody. Crazy plane ride, and they're going to do a Dark Side of the Ring on that, which I think will be more lighthearted than anything, hopefully. Although I think WWF had to like pay off some stewardesses because Ric Flair maybe was inappropriate with them. I mean, he showed them the penis, but I don't know. I hope he didn't do more. I hope we don't find out that Ric Flair has sexually assaulted people. Although I think if you flash somebody that isn't a willing participant, I'm pretty sure that is sexual assault. So, guess he has. Luna Vachon also going to be featured. Another great Canadian. XPW?
That was like a rival fed to like ECW. Like okay. They had a couple of pay-per-views. I think they ran in the West Coast. I think it was run by a porn company, if I'm not mistaken.
Fun. And Chris Canyon will be the final episode, of course, Tragic Story. Who better than Canyon to end the season off with? You don't think The Plane Ride from Hell is going to be a nice, lighthearted story about Brock Lesnar getting drunk and wrestling Mr. Perfect?
I mean, you know, if you think it's fun that, you know, people, you know, lost their jobs because of this and people were probably emotionally scarred for life because of that, sure, but...
Who lost their jobs?
I don't know if it's... Scott Hall lost his job. Kurt Hennig lost his job.
Oh, yeah. Well, because they had serious drug and alcohol problems, didn't they?
Yeah, and it showed on this flight.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to some it's funny, to others like, well, this actually was the final straw for these guys, you know, and Curt Hennig sadly passed away not too long after this.
Yeah. Well, that's sad. But it does show you how much of a badass Curt Hennig was. Near death, fucked up beyond recognition. Like, this guy's pilled out, high, drunk, everything. Still can hang in there in a wrestling match with Brock Lesnar. I mean, that's a bad motherfucker right there. Right? I
Yeah,
mean,
it's just sad though. I
you
don't
know what I'm
know.
saying? Like,
Like,
he's much older than Brock at this point. He's got like 10, 15 years on him at least. He's all pilled out. He's all fucked up. Yet, he can still hang with Brock. Like, you know, gotta respect Mr. Perfect, man. That guy was a hell of an athlete. Hell of an athlete. God bless Mr. Perfect.
just sad that he wasn't able to recover from his demons. It's just sad because, you know,
Of course.
one of the best wrestlers probably ever, too.
I mean, you could say the same thing about so many different guys in the wrestling business, right? Brian Pillman, Curt Hennig, Rick Rude, Eddie Guerrero. The list goes on of guys who died prematurely because of demons. So many guys. It's sad, man, but nothing we can do now. And
Well, at least they're
the
doing.
guys today, as much as Undertaker might dislike it, they're playing video games and they're not pilled out. All right, Taker, deal with it.
Well, again, that's not exactly the way he meant that comment, but whatever. He meant more of the product, but whatever. And I think, again, he's very accurate of what we saw from SmackDown tonight. Very soft tonight. Soft show.
Yes, not the best episode of SmackDown. Definitely the Dark Side of the Ring was more enjoyable. I like the Macho Man documentary that A&E did as well. I thought that was pretty good. Speaking of being high, did you see the Macho Man documentary?
No, because I heard like WWE like kind of twisted the narrative on that one, so I'm like, nah, I don't need to see WWE propaganda.
Yeah, it was interesting though. It was good. And Gorgeous George is on it, and she talks about a Nitro that they showed up in red outfits, and they were so high, like on ecstasy and whatever else. They show up, and Macho does this like rambling promo, and in it, he calls himself the Bacho Man. The Bacho Man.
Right. Yeah, I'm not too surprised by this. Like, wasn't most of Macho Man's promos like he seemed like he was on something? Like, it
Yeah.
felt like a lot of promos were like that. So this isn't very surprising.
But I never heard himself called the Bacho Man. And I thought that was pretty good. They got to use that on Botchamania. The Bacho Man. Do they still do the send for the man? Somebody's corpsing, send for the man? Macho Man? Remember when Macho Man just slapped the shit out of Torrie Wilson on Raw? My God, he was violent. They didn't talk
Well,
about
he
that.
was.
They didn't talk about that.
Yeah, see, well, that's it. There was a lot of things I'm sure they didn't talk about. And, you know, there's the dark. Well, they've done the dark side for Macho Man, so they really don't need to go back to stuff like that. But that's it. Like, with A&E, like, I think they did Austin okay, from what I'm told. Like,
The Macho
Austin,
was
they
good.
didn't really.
The Macho was fine.
Yeah, but they kind of put him, like, in a rough light, like you said. Like, Austin, maybe not so much. You know, they kind of went hard on Macho, but Austin, they were kind of light on.
Yeah, well, they went hard on Macho in the areas where they needed to.
Well, you
You
gotta
know?
wonder if there's still resentment, you know? Like, he didn't exactly leave on good terms.
I don't
They
know. I
talk about
think
that?
they were honest. Yeah. I mean, they didn't.
No, they.
What do you mean?
All the rumors about
No.
Macho Man, they definitely didn't talk about that.
No. They did not talk about the rumors that Macho Man left the company because he had a sexual relationship with a possibly underage Stephanie McMahon, or just 18 Stephanie McMahon, but probably underage. Which was the rumor, which continues to be the rumor, and I don't know. Macho Man talked about Stephanie McMahon and Triple H like in one of his rap songs. They didn't mention that. talked about, Hunter, I got your woman. You know, like, he did a rap song where he's basically saying that he had sex with Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, they don't talk about that, do they? I mean, they mentioned his rap album, at least.
Yeah, but they only talked about Be a Man, Hulk. They didn't do the best song on that rap album, Perfect Friend, about Mr. Perfect. You were a perfect friend till the end. Oh, yeah. Mr. Perfect. Rest in peace. That's a good song.
Well, hopefully for Macho, maybe now his album, like, they'll kind of boost up the sales a bit now with this.
I don't know. It's all on YouTube. You don't need to buy it. Sorry. And we're on YouTube, too. All the time. We're on YouTube Mondays.
Support artists.
Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays. Mondays after Raw. Wednesdays after Dynamite. Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern for UFC talk and Bellator talk and all the talk of MMA you can handle. And then Friday nights here right after SmackDown at 10 p.m. Eastern time. We will be back Monday night after Raw. Well, I'll be back, not Johnny. Johnny will be back with me next Wednesday night after Dynamite with our main man, Glenn McKenzie. And then we'll be back again next Friday night to not only recap SmackDown, not only preview WrestleMania Backlash, but also review the Nick Gage episode of Dark Side of the Ring.
Whoa. Big episode next week.
Big episode next week, baby. Big episode. WrestleMania Backlash preview, Dark Side of the Ring, Nick Gage review, and SmackDown recap, okay? We're doing it all for you next week. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, click the bell, do all the things. What happened there? There you go. Like the video.
It's disappeared.
I didn't get the whole thing. I want the whole thing. Like, subscribe, yeah, notifications. Yeah. I didn't press it all the way.
Ah.
I think. I don't know. That might have been me. Okay. Do all the things. Don't forget. Become a member. We need more members of the channel. We got all sorts of wrestling toys that we're going to give away, but we need more members. You want me to show you some stuff that I have planned to give away, John? Just to entice the members? Entice the people? I'm seeing a lot of people on the chat right now that aren't members. And if you were a member like Patrick C. Hamilton, if you were a member like Douglas Hepburn, who is our super chat leader of the night, thank you, Douglas, you'd be eligible to get all sorts of cool stuff. I'm going to show you some cool stuff that you might be eligible for, okay? John, entertain everybody.
While Dave leaves, which is fun, I'm actually looking forward to, what is it? I guess the XPW episode, because there was always talk about XPW, about what they did with ECW when they invaded. And we never really got the full story for that, so I'm very interested to see what happens with that. And I'm guessing Dave's going to show us AEW toys, more than likely, because he's got a bunch of those. He's got a bunch of WWE toys, too, but I don't think he wants to give those away. I think he just wants to give away the AEW toys, more than likely.
Huh? Not AEW toys. I could get that box out if you want. You want me to get the box out of AEW toys, too?
It's up to you. I was taking my guess. It's probably AEW toys, because you probably want to give those away more than WWE toys.
Oh, why not? I've got WWE toys. I've got AEW toys. I've got all sorts of wrestling action figures, rare wrestling action figures, that I'm going to start giving away to the members, okay? I'm going to start giving away to the members, but you got to be a member of the YouTube channel to be eligible to this stuff. So sign up and become a member. And the longer you're a member, the more kind of points you get. I'm going to start giving stuff away to members only of this channel. So become a member of this channel. Sign up to become a YouTube member so you'll be eligible for some of these cool giveaways. I just picked this one up today, John. I could give this away. Look at this. Elite Shawn Michaels. Look at that. I know you love Shawn.
Oh, I want to punch him in the face. Yeah.
HB Shizzle. Look at that. He's got the danglies on the ear. It's a beautiful, beautiful Shawn Michaels action figure we got here for everybody. This one.
You burn that one.
Super rare. Super rare. I mean, this is just some of the stuff that we might be giving away. You could get AEW toys, too. You're going to be able to take your pick. I'm going to give you an array of things, and if you're the winner of the night, you're going to get a pick. Look at this, Zelina Vega. This is a rare Chase Zelina Vega action figure. They released this line after Zelina was released, and there was talk that they weren't even going to put Zelina in the series, but they did, and it's very, very hard to find. This action figure is like a $30 action figure, and it goes for about, you know, 50 to, I've seen anywhere from 50, 60 to 100 bucks on eBay. So this is super rare stuff, and you guys can all get this stuff. What else do I have? Dave's Bag of Tricks. Dave's Bag of Tricks. Oh, super rare Jeff Hardy, too. Look at this, John. It's an elite Jeff Hardy. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. That's Jeff Hardy. You see, the normal one in this series has the blue face Jeff Hardy, but this is red face Jeff Hardy. So this is the rare one in the series. This one's hard to find. This one's worth a lot more. You see, this is the chase figure Jeff Hardy, red face Jeff. This is just a sample of some of the stuff that we're going to be giving away to the members. So become a member of the YouTube channel, and you will be eligible to get some of this stuff. But if you're not a member, sorry. But to the members, stay members. And to those of you that aren't members, that are regular watchers of the show, whatever, become a member. And we're going to start doing giveaways here on Wrestling Uncensored. Okay? I got AEW toys. I got all sorts of stuff. You want an Orange Cassidy? You want a Darby Allin? I got that for you. I got you. All right, Johnny?
Cool. Awesome.
All right.
Look forward to seeing the AEW toys one day.
All right. You'll see them one day. Maybe next week I'll show them off and I'll give one away to a member. Become a member. We love you. Go to ringsidereport.net. I'll see you again on Monday. I get a little bit of a weekend off and see you Monday after Raw.